my name is Brett Cease, and welcome everyone to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program that we're really proud to run, and essentially every week we help volunteers and supporters for CCL with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. Tonight, we're very lucky to have our very own Clara Fang. Clara Fang is CCL's Higher Education Outreach Coordinator and has been volunteering with CCL since 2015. Prior to CCL, she worked as Campus Sustainability Manager at Towson University and Swarthmore College. Clara holds a Master's in Environmental Management from Yale University and is working on her Doctorate in Environmental Studies at Antioch University in New England. And so we're very lucky to have Clara. Largely, a lot of the outgrowth that CCL has featured with our higher education programs due to her vision and involvement throughout, really supporting young adult voice in this country right now. So we're really looking forward to learning from you. The learning goals from tonight are going to be pretty straightforward. We're going to have the chance for attendees to understand why young people are important for this movement if they don't already. We're going to have the chance to summarize how young people are already acting on this issue and really give some key case studies throughout the country of other organizations taking action. Clara's going to then review how higher education's programs, CCL's higher education community leaders, are engaging on this issue and really apply our own levers of political will towards higher education on both an allies front, which is for non-students, as well as a campus leader front, which is the student side of that program. So the agenda is pretty straightforward. Why young people? Who are these youth leaders? And then jumping into the higher education leaders and how they're getting involved, what you can do to help, how students also are jumping in, and then a robust Q&A discussion. So I'll get out of the way. Clara, thanks so much for being on the line, and take it from here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be working with CCL on this issue, and working with young people has been so rewarding. And CCL has been really supportive of this work, and I think it's really important that we are doing it. So first I want to talk about why young people. Millennials are concerned, engaged, and looking for a way to feel that their voice matters on climate change and that Congress is listening to them. We find that young people's stories resonate with people. This is an issue that is affecting them in their lifetime. This is something that they didn't do anything to cause, and they really care about it. So when young people tell this story, it's somewhat different from when an older person tells it, and people are more compelled to listen to them. So we know that climate change is happening, and young people are disproportionately affected. They're the ones who will be bearing the physical and economic burden of this, and they are really aware of it. Millennials stand to lose a lot from the effects of climate change. Extreme weather events have cost U.S. taxpayers over $10 billion every year for the past 8 consecutive years. So the newest generation stands to lose almost $8.8 trillion in lifetime income. In a study from Demos and NextGen in 2016, the price tag of being young, they found that a 21-year-old college graduate in the class of 2015 earning a medium income will lose over $126,000 in lifetime income and $187,000 in wealth. Without action on climate change, a 21-year-old earning a medium income will lose $100,000 in lifetime income and $142,000 in wealth. For the children of millennials, the losses from climate change will be even greater. A child born in 2015 with medium earnings will lose $357,000 in lifetime income and $581,000 in wealth. And the same child who graduates from college will lose $467,000 in income and $764,000 in wealth. Millennials are the group that is most concerned about climate change. In this survey, you can see that those who are under 39 years of old show the highest rates in being personally concerned about climate change. 7 out of 10 millennials think that climate change will affect them in their lifetime. And 75% of millennials think that we should stop or slow climate change. And millennials are the ones who are the most active in trying to address it. So in this survey, which asked them what had they done personally to act on climate change, millennials almost answered the highest in all the categories. Millennials also rank climate change as a high priority social cause. Here they say 21% say that it is a very high priority social cause for them. We also find that political events that happen when people are young are much more powerful than events that happen when they're in later in life. So if we're getting young people involved now and acting on things that they care about, then this has a tremendous impact on them for the rest of their lives. Elected officials also pay attention to young people. They don't see a lot of young people in their offices, so they are more interested when they do. Young people are seen as ingenuous and not having an ulterior agenda. Young people can speak of climate change in that it will impact them directly. And young people are going to be voters for a long time. So in this picture here, we have the Traverse City High School students who came to Citizens Climate Lobby Day last June. And they met with their Republican representative, Jack Bergman. And Jack Bergman had been meeting with CCL for years in the past and had not really paid a lot of attention to this issue. But when he met with the students from Traverse City High School, he took note of them and he invited them to make a presentation about carbon pricing when he was in the district in Michigan. And he joined the Climate Solutions Caucus last October. So there's no question that students and millennials are already acting on climate. A January 2016 USA Today/Rock the Vote poll revealed that 80% of millennials believe the US should move towards mostly clean or renewable energy by 2013. Young people fully recognize that if rising greenhouse gas emissions are not addressed, their lives and livelihoods are directly threatened. So they are becoming involved in climate change. And if we don't capture these young people who are interested in climate change, then other groups will. So here are some examples of groups that are being led by young people and working with young people. You may have heard of our Children's Trust, where 21 plaintiffs under the age of 19 filed suit in August 2015 against the federal government for the harm caused to them by fossil fuel policies. The youth are claiming that the government has breached the public trust doctrine and denied their federal constitutional rights of due process and caused them great harm by its actions like permitting fossil fuel production. Our Climate is another group that is empowering young millennials to advocate for carbon pricing. They started in Oregon advocating for a state carbon price. And then they teamed up with Years of Living Dangerously, the documentary series, to start a national campaign to train young people in becoming advocates for carbon pricing. And now they are working on state-level carbon prices in the Northeast and in Washington, Oregon. So here, the students with Put a Price on It are with the legislature in Portland, Oregon. So the name of the national campaign created by Our Climate is Put a Price on It. And CCL was collaborating with them last year to get students involved in climate advocacy. And now we have launched our own program to engage students. So we mutually support each other, but we have two separate platforms. The PowerShift Network is an umbrella organization that mobilizes the collective power of young people to mitigate climate change and create a just, clean energy future and resilient, thriving community for all. It's interesting that Mark Reynolds and Marshall Saunders attended one of the first PowerShift conferences, and they found several of the first group leaders at those conferences. So here are some of the groups that work with young people, which PowerShift works with. Sunrise Movement is a fairly new organization that started after the 2016 election, and they are focused on electing public officials who want to act on climate change and want to represent the youth voices on climate change. Students for Carbon Dividends was founded by Alex Posner. He's a Yale student, and he first heard about carbon pricing through connections with CCL leaders in Dallas, Texas. And this initiative came out of the Climate Leadership Council, which is putting forth the Republican Carbon Dividends proposal. This is Zero Hour is founded by 16-year-old Jamie Margolin from Washington. She is organizing a youth march for climate action in DC this summer, July 21st, followed by a youth lobby day. And they're working with CCL to organize that youth lobby day. In addition to young people, higher education is also community leaders and science policy and economic experts. And those people are really important for us to engage on carbon pricing as well. I want to share with you this quote from Senator Lamar Alexander, showing how politicians value the voice of leaders from higher education. He says, if five or six college presidents came to me and said, Senator Alexander, may we have a 30-minute appointment with you while you're home next month? I'll do it in a minute. So will every other senator. You college presidents have the credibility to go to a member of Congress and say, will you please vote for this? Will you co-sponsor the legislation? Will you support it? Will you encourage the president of the United States to sign it? Odds are, if you do that, they will. It's about that simple. So to harness the voice of higher education leaders, CCL's worked with Our Climate to create the Higher Education Carbon Pricing Endorsement Initiative. We are trying to get college and university presidents to endorse carbon pricing by signing on to this letter that's currently on the screen. And then the letter is shared with state and local lawmakers, the higher education community, and the public to gather support for this critical policy. You can go to our higher education website on the endorsements page and find our frequently asked questions, talking points, handouts, and the form to sign. Valerie Smith, the president of Swarthmore College, was one of the first presidents to sign on to our endorsement, and she has been critical in helping us gather the support of other presidents. On the endorsements website, you can find a video of her saying why she supported this initiative, and also the students talk about how they got their endorsement and why this issue is important to them. So it's a great video to watch if you can go to our website. Yep, so you can see all the names of the presidents there. Last year, one of our CCL volunteers, Emily Northrup, who is an economics professor at Southwestern University in Texas, she got the faculty of the university to put together a faculty resolution endorsing climate action. It's pretty much the first faculty body endorsement resolution of its kind. So it's a huge accomplishment, especially in Texas. The Tyndall Petition is a initiative that was established in 2011 by students at University of California, Los Angeles. So they wanted to harness the voice of climate experts and environmental studies faculty. So they put out a petition to saying that these experts see climate change as real and as an urgent problem and the U.S. should address it. And they have gotten 676 experts from 139 institutions to sign on to this petition. So what can I do to help? Our CCL volunteers can do a huge amount to help. I'm only one person doing higher ed outreach, and I can't be at every school all over the country. So I definitely rely on our volunteers to do the on-the-ground outreach. And as we know, person-to-person relationships is all about how we make change. So the CCL volunteers making those connections in their local communities is the most important thing. So What I tell people to start with is to find an ally at your university. A natural choice for that is typically the sustainability director or a sustainability committee if the college doesn't have a director. This is a person who has been in charge of creating a climate action plan and implementing sustainability initiatives in campus. So they're likely to be environmentally minded and open to carbon pricing. So this is a good person to start a conversation with. And also they would know about the players on campus. You know, for example, what does the president think about climate change? Have they endorsed anything before? Who on campus are really supportive of this? Who are the most active students? So they would really know the landscape of the university. Same with environmental students and also faculty. You can find the leaders of environmental student groups and reach out directly to them. And also faculty, they have a captive audience in these students, and they know who are the students that are leaders on their campuses and for whom CCL would be a great opportunity. So in addition to local universities, you can also work with your alumni association. Universities love to hear from their alumni. So you can write op-eds for the campus paper, start a petition, raise funds, make presentations, network among the alums, connect with the sustainability director or the environmental studies faculty. And since you're already a member of that community, you're better connected to have an in with those stakeholders than if you're a person in the local community trying to connect with the university. And once you have made some connections, then your next step might be to do some campus outreach and find out who else is interested. So you can table at campus events, organize and host film screenings, and give presentations. Professors often like to have outside speakers who are experts on an issue talk about a specific issue. So having those connections can help you reach the students who care about this. And then once you start finding the students who are interested, you can invite them to lobby meetings. For a lot of young people, they've never done something like that before. It's simple. You know, the local chapter takes the responsibility of organizing the meetings, and all the students have to do is to show up and learn how to talk to members of Congress and their staff. You can invite them to our conferences. The regional conferences are often more accessible geographically, and they can also come to the National Conference or Congressional Education Day in DC. Right now, we have discount codes for students to register for the conference. And also, members often help with transportation or housing in DC. Can mentor an intern. So every year, CCL offers some internships with people at headquarters or in the DC office, or Brett, Madeline, myself. We also work with interns. But increasingly, we are also developing local chapters to help them take on interns. That way, we can offer internships in way more locations, and students can have the experience of working with a local chapter. So if you're a group leader, mentoring an intern is a great way to get help with your chapter and help a student gain professional experience. Pictured here is Taylor Krause, who was a student at Chapman University, and she started out as an intern at CCL headquarters, and now she works as executive assistant to Mark Reynolds. Local chapters can work on fundraising. This is hugely helpful to students who don't have money to go to the conference. So for example, $5,000 would support 10 paid student fellowships to do organizing across our regions, and $1,000 would support 5 students to attend the national conference. I run a support group called the Higher Ed Allies. So this is a group for CCL volunteers who are specifically interested in doing higher ed outreach. I host a monthly call and a monthly newsletter with tips and news about what's going on in higher education and ways to take action. And on the conference calls, we can talk to each other about best practices and shoot problems. So it's a really great community. You can join us at our website, which we'll have the link to later. So featured here are three of our higher ed allies. Aurora Winslade went to a CCL regional conference in Philadelphia, and she became hooked. She's currently sustainability director at Swarthmore College. So it was easy for her to get behind CCL's carbon fee and dividend proposal. So she was instrumental in helping us launch the Higher Ed Carbon Pricing Endorsements Initiative. She got her president to sign on, and she's also organizing the higher ed community to implement internal carbon pricing. Dr. Dan Diedrich is an English professor at University of Wisconsin. He's the group leader of the local chapter, and he helped to organize a student group on campus. So he worked with students to fundraise to help them attend the national conference, and he worked with them to win the endorsement from the Student Government Association and the University Chancellor. Neil Leary is a sustainability director at Dickinson College, and he also teaches environmental studies. He got all the students in his environmental studies class involved and put a price on it last year. And they got the endorsement of their town council of Carlisle. They got their president to sign our endorsement initiative. And they organized this event called Safe Climate PA, where students from all over Pennsylvania went to Harrisburg and talked to their state legislatures about carbon pricing. So next I'm going to go over the opportunities for students in CCL. So our main program for students is the Campus Leaders Program and the Regional Fellows. Campus Leaders are students who want to start a CCL chapter or a CCL campaign on their campus. So they work with me to design a campaign and to accomplish their goals, whether that's to get their president's endorsement or to lobby their member of Congress, gather petitions, etc. I do biweekly coaching calls with them, and they have a monthly campus leader call. And then the regional fellows also take on those duties at their own school, and they will have the role of supporting regional coordinators in organizing and promoting the CCL regional conferences. So students have to apply on our website, citizensclimatehighered.org/campusleaders, and they commit 2 semesters to their campaign. So among the things they can work on, they can also work on media by writing articles for their newspaper or speaking on the radio or promoting their activities through social media and local television. They do a ton of campus outreach, tabling at events, organizing film screenings, giving presentations, just raising awareness about carbon pricing. They gather testimonials. We have the handwritten constituent forms that CCL uses to gather these letters. And we've also done this project where students can submit a photo of themselves and a quote on why they support carbon pricing. And then we put it into these PowerPoint slides and also squares where you can see their photo and their quote together. So it's like a letter to their member of Congress, but it's more personal because it has their picture and tells a little more of the story about who they are and why they care. The testimonials link is still live, so young people can still contribute to it if you go to our testimonials webpage there. So some examples of our student organizers, Nicole Hammond is a sophomore at Salisbury University in Ellicott City, Maryland. In Salisbury, Maryland. She's majoring in biology and environmental studies. And she started out as an intern for the DC chapter and helped to organize the Mid-Atlantic Regional Conference. And then she started as a campus leader with me this spring to organize a campus chapter at Salisbury University. And she's been working with the Sustainability Committee on her campus, as well as her town, to secure endorsements for carbon pricing. Hogan Dwyer first got involved through the Put a Price on It campaign. And during the summer, he was working on that. He got his hometown, South Orange, New Jersey, their municipal council to endorse carbon pricing. And then when he went back to St. Lawrence University, he got in touch with me and started the St. Lawrence / Canton chapter. So he's been working to organize the students on campus to rally for carbon pricing. He published an article in the campus newspaper last fall, and he attended our Northeast Regional Conference this spring, just a few weeks ago, and it was his 21st birthday. Jess Wilbur, who we have on the call tonight, she's going to share a little bit later about what she's been doing at her campus, Oberlin College. So she is a first year at Oberlin, majoring in environmental studies and political science. And she started the campus chapter this semester. And she's been working very closely with the local chapter in Oberlin, led by John Sabin. So they've had a really productive relationship working with the town and the local chapter and the students. All right. So this is where Jess gives her presentation.
Yeah. Okay. So as Clara said, my name is Jess Wilbur, and I am the campus leader for Oberlin College's Citizens Climate Lobby chapter, or OCCL. And I'm using my experience with Citizens Climate Lobby to help prepare me for a future career in international environmental politics, because that's the sort of field that I've always wanted to go into. So a little bit about Oberlin College. It's located in the small town of Oberlin, Ohio, and it's known by its contemporaries for its history in sustainability and environmental research. And though I've only completed about 2 semesters of college thus far, it has already become clear to me that many students are not fully aware of this history or the ways in which they themselves can positively impact the environment. This realization first became apparent to me while working on a ballot initiative project for the local elections last semester. With the help of 3 other students in my Environmental Studies 101 course, I worked on the initiative Yes to 16, No to 17, which regarded 2 issues on the 2017 local election ballot for Lorain County. In the end, issue 16 passed and the revenue was deposited into the Sustainable Reserve Program. While working on Yes to 16, No to 17, I was amazed to see that the amount of students that took such a strong interest in learning about the local issue. I wanted to expand upon the topics that my group and I discussed by shedding light on nationwide efforts to combat climate change. Thus, I believe that starting a CCL chapter at Oberlin College would do just that. When Claire and I spoke about creating a CCL chapter on Oberlin campus, neither of us were aware of the fact that a CCL chapter had already been established in Oberlin. However, there was an incredibly low student participation rate and absolutely no affiliation with the college at all. This disconnect was the result of an ongoing trend of exclusion and distrust between community members and students, a trend that was only strengthened after the result of the 2016 general elections. Oberlin College is often referred to as an incredibly liberal institution, while the surrounding community is much more moderate and in some ways relatively conservative. This realization caused a shift in the end goal of establishing a CCL chapter in Oberlin College. No longer will we focus on educating students and faculty on first step solutions to tackling climate change, but we would also help foster a stronger bond between college students and the city of Oberlin as well. As I work to recruit students to the Developing CCL student organization on campus, I encouraged members to attend the monthly meetings of the CCL Oberlin chapter with me. As the bond between our groups strengthened, our projects became more and more intertwined. Last month, with the help of CCL Oberlin chapter leader John Sabin, we presented a resolution to Oberlin City Council calling on Congress to implement the carbon fee and dividend policy. With the support of both community members and college students in the audience, it passed 7-0 on its first reading. Last week, with an even larger turnout of OCCL student members and CCL Oberlin chapter community volunteers, it passed 7-0 on its second reading. With the third and final reading coming up in 2 weeks, we have no doubt that we will see the same results. All semester long, I've been working to promote the idea of establishing OCCL through social media posts and poster distribution. This alone has been a learning experience for me, as before working with Citizens Climate Lobby, I had absolutely no social media exposure whatsoever. One of the first major events we had as a group was attending a talk in Elyria, the next town over from Oberlin, called Climate and Cocktails, where several speakers came together to discuss the problem of eutrophication in Lake Erie and its effects on local farmers and residents. Last week, myself and several other students ran tabling sessions in the Central Library of campus. These tabling sessions were conducted with the purpose of educating student groups, educating student groups about the work of Citizens Climate Lobby and stimulating a discussion about the carbon fee and dividend policy in honor of Earth Week. We also attended a community-wide Earth Day potluck where we were able to engage with other student environmental groups and curious community members. From these events, we were able to recruit the final students necessary to meet our 15 student minimum requirement in order to become an official student organization. And we received over 50 handwritten testimonials. Seemingly right on cue, I was able to find a faculty member to sponsor OCCL in the same week. With a research focus in environmental psychology, Professor Cindy Franz of Oberlin College is very excited to help in the establishment of our group. All that is left to do is fill out the paperwork and develop a budget request for the next academic year. So looking forward to the final few weeks of the semester, I have scheduled meetings with Oberlin's Board of Sustainability and the college's leader, President Ambar, to discuss endorsing Citizens Climate Lobby and the carbon fee and dividend policy. Considering our faculty sponsor, Professor Cindy Franz, is on the Board of Sustainability and has a close relationship with President Ambar, I'm confident that these meetings will be productive and yield positive results. Together with John Sabin and several members of the CCL Oberlin chapter, I plan to attend the 9th annual CCL National Conference. I look forward to presenting the student, faculty, and community member testimonials we've accumulated to our members of Congress and documenting the experience for OCCL members who would like the opportunity of attending the conference in future years.
All right, so in summary, our opportunities for students are to volunteer, join a local chapter, and get involved in local advocacy efforts. In turn, get professional experience while helping to expand our membership and impact, or lead by becoming group leader yourself and starting a CCL campus chapter. So you can join the Higher Education Action Team by going to our website, citizensclimatehighered.org, and then click join. You'll indicate in there if you are a student, faculty, or local community member, what you're interested in, and you'll receive our monthly newsletter, invitations to our Higher Ed Ally calls, and be part of the community. So the takeaways for tonight: young people matter, they will be heavily impacted, and they are deeply concerned about climate change. They are already leading the charge in shaping the dialogue, and they're going to be the next generation of climate leaders. And there are many ways to get them involved. And our CCL volunteers offer the crucial connection to connect them to our organization. So we're going to end with this quote from Pope Francis. The temptation to silence young people has always existed. It is up to you not to keep quiet. Even if others keep quiet, if we older people and leaders, some corrupt, keep quiet, if the whole world keeps quiet and loses its joy, I ask you, will you cry out?
If you're interested, here's the best way to get in touch with Clara. It's just clara.fang@citizensclimatelobby.org, or my contact as well is just brett@citizensclimate.org. The website that Clara is referring to here is pretty easy to remember. It's just citizensclimatehighered.org. It's got all of the resources she discussed tonight available there, and I'll put that in the chat window. But most of all, we just thank you for making the time to be here, for all of your leadership. But have a wonderful evening, everyone, and we look forward to being in touch soon.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much. Great.
Great to see you.
So much good information.
Thank you, Mariah.